Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guy Podcast. Tell you what, John Cox is in the house. We're not in the house. We're at Vexus. And we're talking boats, boats, boats. And, well, I said one too many boats for you. Unless you got three Vexus boats.
No, when I get home, I'll have three. But
you'll be selling one,
yeah,
right?
I'm really having a hard time parting with them because I love both the boats I ran this year.
Right.
The ACX 2210, fished the Redfish tournaments out of with Keith Garson, and did some gator hunting. And that was kind of the boat, you know, I took the family out in a lot.
Center console.
Yeah, center console. It holds up to nine people. It's got 250 on it, plenty of seating, really great boat. And then the AVX 2100.
Right.
That's the one I fished all year on the Elites and NPFL. And, man, both boats, I can't part with it. I know I got a new one coming home. But I'm just, I'm not even gonna sell the center console. I'm gonna actually park it at Keith's. Well, hopefully my wife's not listening, but I'm gonna park it at Keith's, so we can have two, you know, for when say his family wants to go, my family wants to go, you know, we can both head somewhere and do some fishing, you know, instead of getting pontoon boats, you know.
Yeah, well, it's obviously more comfortable, going in there. Let's just start. Do you want to start with bass or do you want to start
new?
Let's start with bass.
Like,
when you start looking at boats, because you've had a lot of boats in the past, how did you come to say, well, I'm going to go with this Vexus and this is the reason why?
Yeah, I mean, so I ran a lot of different boats. I was with one company for a really long time and, loved the boat and stuff, but I borrowed Keith's boat when he got a Vexus.
Right.
And I'm like, wow, this is really nice. And then I was kind of intrigued. I was like, well, I want to kind of go check it out. You know, Vexus is new, you know, the company's new.
Yep.
I knew the people, from before. And so when I came up, it was like kind of like a coming home party, you know, kind of like, back with the guys, you know, from FLW days and stuff. So it just felt right. And then, you know, just seeing the quality it's an incredible boat. It's the nicest boat that the AVX 2100 that I have is the nicest boat I've ever been in. And it rides, you would never even know that it was aluminum until you tap on the side. It rides so well.
Right.
And, it's just all that effort, all those steps, the quality of the material, that Vexus puts in building these boats.
And you've had one for how long?
I have had one for the entire season.
Right.
So I'm going on right at a year right now. And, it's honestly like I could use it next year again. I could probably use it the year after that. And I mean, it's just a really solid boat. I love everything. But I try to, at the end of the year, I'm like, hey, I want to give them some feedback on something that I would change. And I have not been able to, even the whole ride up here, I've not been able to think of anything I would change on that boat.
They have a lifetime warranty for the first owner on their hull.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And the second owner, I happen to know this because I own one.
Yeah.
And the second, like if you sold it to the next person, they would get a 5-year warranty on the hull.
Oh, wow.
Now they have to fill out the paperwork. And I think there's a small fee that is associated with that.
Right.
But dude, how about for selling it now? Now you feel better about selling it.
Yeah.
Like you sell it to, don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Well, that's true. So I am usually at the end of the year, I use the boat a lot, put 300 or so hours on.
Wow.
And I'm not worried about selling this one because it's in such great shape. You know,
what's the roughest water you took that in this year?
So, I want to say I had a couple really rough, events. We had one at the Classic. The practice was insane. It wasn't even a big lake.
Yeah.
It was Ray Roberts, but the wind was blowing perfectly. Some of the guys sunk in practice. That was some of the biggest, roughest, choppiest water. But I want to say the longest, roughest run that I made was when we went to St. Lawrence River and we were running from Messina all the way out into Ontario. And it was around like 110, 115 miles one way. And the boat did so well. I did it all 3 days. There wasn't like it's going to be too rough or, you know, it was, I felt confident going every day, going down, coming back. And, it was great.
What's the shallowest like you've run through in a long distance? Cause I know you like shallow water. Have you run some flats, like super, super shallow flats?
I was really impressed. you know, with the 2100, you know, how shallow, right? Like even floating shallow, it would float real shallow. And,
right.
You know, this year I finally got more and more comfortable as I used it through the season. And I took it over a beaver dam and stuff. And I was still able to do a lot of that stuff
right.
that I used to be able to do. And it held up really well. And, but I want to say the 2210, we were fishing a redfish tournament.
Right.
And we run into this little pothole that's on a flat. So you got, you know, maybe a mile and a half, 2 miles of this flat. And then, you know, low tide, the flat dries up. You know, it's like just inches. And we get to this hole, and we're in this hole. We're fishing it, and the tide's falling. It's getting lower and lower. And we don't catch anything. We need to get out of this hole. And we're right. watching, like, we're watching that tide slowly start creeping back up the high tide. And it got to where it looked about ankle deep, maybe a little more, maybe shin deep. Yeah. And I couldn't troll out of it because it was too right. shallow. So I got back on plane, jumped up on plane. And that and the 2210 is a big boat. Like, it's big,
yeah.
but it floats so shallow. And I ran out. You know, it's got 250. And I ran right out of that pocket. Never bumped the bottom over that 2 miles.
Two miles.
Yeah, I've just, you know, and just, I mean, it was, that day really impressed me on that boat. I mean, it's just... you know, and both boats are very similar in how, you know, they have so much room in them, but they're able to go so shallow because of the width
right.
Of them. Yeah.
So let's talk about the boat itself, the Bass one. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that one. So a lot of people put lithium batteries in. So what's your layout in the back? Because that will make a difference on the depth of the water,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, so just with all my traveling most of the time, right. you know, a lot of times I either don't get to charge in the evening after a tournament or after right. practice because we're either driving through the night to the next one or
right.
or something. You don't have time to charge. So I actually run I run 6 12-volt lithiums, but two different sets of 36. So I have a 30-set back there I can run yeah. on. Say I run them hard all day and, you know, they start dying in the evening. Then I'm able to swap over and I have this whole other fresh set. Or if it's the next day, I don't get to charge. Or like, say, you know, you're staying with your buddies and everybody's right. plugged in, pop a breaker in the middle of the night, no one charges.
Right.
I don't even sweat it because I'm like, I got a whole nother set of freshly charged.
Are those 100-amp batteries?
Yep, 100 amps. Yeah, and it's, yeah. so they go, and I'm running the...
you can give a shout-out to them.
Yeah, so those are Battle-Borne batteries. They're actually not yep. a sponsor anymore. I've been kind of holding out. Like, I've wanted to try some other brands, but that battery has been so solid from day one. My kid has them in his camper that right. he travels in, and like, I mean, they're just so good. Like, I can count on them, you know. So
right.
So I'm still using them, and so yeah, they're 100 amp hours, and I'm running the Ultrex Quest, so okay. I'm able to
last forever.
Yeah, oh yeah, I mean, it, you know, with it being brushless now and stuff, and that trolling motor, I was a Fortrex guy forever,
right?
And when we put that Quest on the center console and fished some redfish tournaments, I instantly was like, I'm putting this on the bass boat. This thing is so nice, so smooth, quiet. And yeah, that trolling motor, I mean, it's a really good trolling motor.
And the lift assist is crazy on it.
Oh,
it has
yeah.
dual lift assist. So you yeah. like, you nothing to lift it
smooth,
up.
Smooth. Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, that was the thing I loved with the Fortrex was how light it was.
Uh-huh,
you know,
yeah.
you can throw it in, pull it out. And people don't remember cause everybody's had the Ultrex and other, but that Fortrex, I mean, yeah, when you, I would put the Ultrex on like with up north tournaments.
Right.
And man, when I would go back to the Fortrex, it was just like, oh my gosh, like, you know, just so much lighter. But now with the Quest, that lift assist definitely helps it, fixes everything.
I bet it does.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about a little bit about the lures that you've been focusing on the last year, mm-hmm. but. Do you have some that you kind of think that you're kind of looking forward? Maybe ones that like they're coming out and I can't wait.
Yeah. So we actually had a meeting with we have multiple meetings
right.
you know, every month about it. And I was in my hotel room two nights ago or whenever I got here.
Right.
I don't know what day it is actually. Two nights ago. But I'm in my hotel room and I got this idea. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a perfect bait idea. And I drew it all up to the best of my ability. It looks like right. kindergarten drew it, but I sent it over to our guys and he was all excited. And he was like, oh my gosh, this is new. And I'm like, I know this is going to be really great. So I don't know. It's really weird. It just kind of came to me. But
right.
So I'm excited about that. And I'm going to hopefully get a sample of it soon and do
right.
some tweaking and stuff. And, But we do have some really good stuff coming.
What's the one bait you pull out and you know you can catch fish on it?
I've been throwing the general for in Max Scent, probably the last 7-8 years or so. And that's been my go-to, you know. And now we actually have a lot newer Max Scent shakes. We have an action crawl. We actually have like 3 action crawls. We got it's called the Super Trooper crawl, which is like a little tiny crawl, like a 2.5 inch. We have the Stank Bug, which is that like action crawl, controlled fall and everything. And then we have the Crud crawl, which, you know, all those are all Max Scent. So I'm like, you know, now it's like we have, you know, we went from not having any action crawls to having 3 really good ones. So those have probably been the ones I've leaned on most this entire season, you know, using them as jig trailers, drop shotted that Super Trooper crawl, Ned rigged it. The jig trailer, I really like that Stank Bug. And then the Crud crawl, I flipped it a lot, with like 1/2 ounce and 1 ounce when we were down at Okeechobee and stuff. And, those are my main soft plastics. But, I guess to go on the hard bait side, they came out with a screaming Chapo. And when I got the sample, I was like, this just looks like why are we doing another Chapo? Like, we have the Chapos are great, you know, they work great. And then I started throwing it in that it's like got this high pitched noise, as it's coming up to the target. And I didn't know this until we did underwater footage.
Yeah.
And it makes a screeching noise as soon as it gets to the target. Because it's pushing it forward with it. And man, it's just the bites that have come up out of like hydrilla and like off of logs. It's crazy. It gets a lot more bites. And I think it's something new they haven't heard. So.
Yeah. Well, you got to say something about forward facing sonar.
Yeah.
And things are changing in the industry. Mm-hmm. You know, they're kind of opening it and kind of keeping it open, but also making some, you know, restricting it in some ways. That's good for the sport, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good. I mean, I mean, on a lot of different things, it is kind of, you know, because it hasn't been just dominating completely,
right?
For the most part. But I think it'll also be good too, because, you know, like, you know, you get someone that's, for instance, has, you know, so much money to spend a year on fishing tackle or whatever it might be, you know, and if they're having to spend 20-30 grand. On units and stuff, you know, it really cuts into the whole, you know, I'm going to get fishing tackle or I'm going to get a new boat, because it's like, I'm
not getting no screaming Chapo.
Yeah.
Then,
yeah, you're going to get no screaming Chapos. So, so it's cool. It's cool to see that they're, you know, doing that up. It's going to mix it up. It's going to be exciting. Cause you know, we're not going to see it at all, but we're going to get to see it some and see some regular, you know, normal fishing too. So, that part's exciting. And, it was funny story. So I go to my boat in the plant and we're uncovering it just yesterday or whatever.
Right.
I look at that trolling motor shaft and through the cover and I'm like, it looks like there's something on there. They put a forward facing live sonar transducer on my trolling motor as a joke. And I was like, guys, I covered it up. I'm like, no one can see this on here. Get it off, you know. So it was funny. They played a good one on me.
Well, you ought to play a trick on him, and when you pick your boat up and you take it, take it with you,
because
you can always sell it, and then you can buy a bunch of lures.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
How many generals can you buy?
Well, geez, I don't know.
$1,200, $1,400?
Yeah, quite. Maybe the whole year's worth.
Year's worth.
Yeah.
That's good. That takes us to a Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures, of course, has a full line of hard baits, and they have a lot of crankbaits, and crankbaits is what they're known for, especially in Mississippi and fishing for crappie and trolling crankbaits. So that's a big thing. You haven't got into that yet, I don't think.
No.
But if you did, then you might give up red fishing to crappie fishing. Yeah. But
I haven't got into the crappie fishing that much. I've caught some. It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to probably do a little more of that.
Oh, you might, maybe.
Yeah.
You can check them out at picalures.com. Also, B&M Poles. B&M Poles has a complete line of roll poles for everything from trout to bream to catfish and, of course, crappie. They got a whole line of, you know, crappie rods that are maybe for long poling.
Oh, nice.
You know, 20-foot long. Yeah. They got ones that extend. Like the Ambush extends out 24 foot, wow. But they got some really long rods, but check them out, of course, online at bnmpole.com. John, if they want to find out more about you and see what you spent your money on with, since you sold the transducer,
yeah,
you wouldn't make it out the door. They'd be running, tracking you down.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where would they go to find out?
Oh, I mean, right now I post a lot on Instagram. It's okay. John Cox_fishing. And then you can just look for me either Fishing Bassmasters, MPFL, maybe even a little National Redfish Trail. That show just came out pretty recent. So
that's right.
If you're on the Sportsman's Channel or Outdoor Channel, it'll be on there. And that was a super cool tournament, Louisiana, ton of big redfish. And yeah.
All right. There you go. Like we always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp. Lures in the water.